This is the pre-hospital edition of the Advanced Analgesia Podcast. Our goal is better, safer, comprehensive pain control in the field and for our patients.
So welcome to our Advanced Analgesia in the Pre-Hospital Setting podcast series. My name is Rachel Duncan. I am a clinical pharmacist who specializes in using alternatives to opioids to appropriately treat pain. My co-host that I'll be introducing to you is Dr. Don Stater.
Hi, Rachel, and I'm so excited to be here and to talk about advanced analgesia. My name is Don Stater. I'm an emergency physician, addiction medicine physician, and pain control specialist. I am the director of the Advanced Analgesia Program and have been an absolute pain nerd for around the last 8 years with Rachel trying to figure out how we can better address pain in all facets of medicine. And it's really going to be my pleasure to talk about what advanced analgesia is and how we can start applying it to our patients in the pre-hospital setting.
Well, Don, I can certainly attest to the nerd part. He has been nerding out hard. So yeah, let's just start with introducing advanced analgesia in the pre-hospital setting, which we abbreviate as AAPS. What is advanced analgesia to you, Don? What are sort of those three basic principles?
Yeah, so advanced analgesia is built upon kind of our conceptualization that we want to provide better, safer, comprehensive pain control to patients in the pre-hospital setting and transition them very, very efficiently to the hospital setting where they will hopefully get definitive pain control in the emergency department. And really, it's predicated on three main pillars. The first of which is that we need to understand pain at a much deeper level than we ever have before. We know that pain is more than just about nociception and feeling pain. We know that pain can be augmented by patients' emotional states. We know that there are different types of pain, whether you're talking about acute pain versus chronic pain, whether you're talking about neuropathic pain versus inflammatory pain versus spasmodic pain versus psychogenic pain. These are all different types of pain categories, and we need to understand them because they all require different treatments. So we have to be pain nerds. And we're not going to get into it in this podcast, but we do have a video that we shared previously that we'll also include in the show notes that talks about understanding pain at a much deeper level. The second thing, the second pillar outside of understanding pain, is understanding that pain can be treated with a whole spectrum of medications. And this is where we really want our EMS providers to be masters in multimodal analgesia, also known as ALTO or alternatives to opioids. And we're going to go through the different medications, starting with acetaminophen and an NSAID, and then progressing to more advanced medications such as olanzapine, IV lidocaine, IV magnesium, famotidine, and then also our traditional medications for pain relief, whether that's an opioid such as fentanyl morphine or something that's an NMDA antagonist, but also a controlled substance like ketamine. So the toolbox is full when you talk about multimodal analgesia in the EMS setting. And then finally, we really do emphasize, and this is going to be the concentration of our introduction, that analgesia doesn't just mean medications, but it's about how you communicate with patients and how you interact with them through pain psychology to set that patient up for appropriate pain control, appropriate expectations, and how you can just really affect the whole trajectory of that patient's care with how you talk with the patient and how you set that patient up for either success or failure in the expectations that you give them. And this is something that's very, very deeply evidence-based, but that we've long neglected when talking about pain. So I'm really, really excited to talk about this in our first podcast.
Yeah, and I feel like none of us got any formal training on that when we were all going through our education. Whether that was you in med school, me in pharmacy school, or EMS providers and all of their various certifications and trainings, like it just doesn't get talked about, but it is rooted in the evidence. So I think we need to change that. And this is really kind of the first step in the pre-hospital setting.
Yeah. I mean, how we talk with patients is really very, very, very important. And how we arm ourselves with the tools we need for that communication really help influence the rest of the care that you give. And why don't we just dive right in? Because let's talk about what we do currently to assess and to communicate patients with pain. So, Rachel, why don't we just use you as a patient, okay?
Okay.
Let's pretend that Rachel comes into us after being in a car accident and having what we think is a Colles fracture. So she has a fractured wrist that we can look at and we say, oh, wow, that's swollen. It looks a little bit deformed. And we're going to be transporting patient Rachel to the hospital. So let's just start with that as a clinical background. So hello, I'm Don Stater. I'm a paramedic. So sorry that you look like you've got an accident today. How are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm in a lot of pain. I'm kind of worried about what happened. Not quite sure exactly, but I do know that my wrist really hurts. I think something's wrong, but I'm too scared to look at it.
Well, with your wrist, what would you give it on a score of 1 to 10? 1 being little pain, 10 being the worst pain you can ever imagine. What would you grade it on a 1 to 10 scale?
I mean, this feels like it's broken. I'm in a lot of pain. I would say it's a 9.
Okay. Okay. Now describe that pain to me. Is it sharp? Is it dull? What does it feel like?
It's very sharp. It's kind of stabbing. It's constant. Obviously, it's a lot worse if I move it. So I've just been trying to lay here as still as possible.
Okay, so it's worse when you move it. Besides being still, does anything else make it better?
No, I think honestly, just like keeping it as still as possible. I've just been trying to find a position that's comfortable for it.
Okay, gotcha. And so let's just examine you. So you do your assessment and you don't see, besides this isolated wrist injury, you don't see anything else that's wrong with Rachel. You just have a fracture of the wrist. Rachel, would you like something for your pain?
Yes, this is pretty severe pain. I know it's just in my wrist, but I would like to be treated for it.
Okay, great. Well, Rachel, we're going to give you a dose of morphine. We've got more pain medications than you have pain. So let's get that started and let's get you to the hospital.
Okay. That sounds like a plan.
Okay. Great. So I think that's a very traditional way that we're taught to treat pain. And I think that it highlights several things, which is we have all been taught in our medical training to concentrate primarily on quantification and qualification of pain, right? So with this, I think you see through that interview, what I'm actually doing when I interview Rachel is trying to give her to give me a number, trying to then tell her to describe it to me, which for this, we all know what's happened. Just with our eyes, Rachel has a broken wrist, right? But we oftentimes ask follow-up questions that ask Rachel to focus on her pain and then to discuss her pain further. So in many ways, this is really detrimental to Rachel's underlying pain psychology, okay? Because it really doesn't recognize the human factors in Rachel that either turn up her pain volume or turn down her pain volume. So we're going to do that same interview again, but we're going to approach it with an advanced analgesia and with a pain psychology approach. And we'll do several things that are going to show some of the things that you can do just in your interaction with your patients that actually help set them up for better success. Okay. So, hi, I'm Don Stater. I'm a paramedic. I'm so sorry that you've been in an accident today.
Yeah, it was pretty terrifying, honestly.
Gosh, yeah, I couldn't imagine. You know, does anything hurt on you?
Yes, right. I think I'm okay, but right now, really, my wrist is, I think it's probably broken, but honestly, I'm too scared to look at it. But yeah, it's in a lot of pain.
Okay, well, let me ask, how tolerable is that pain? Do you think that you'd actually be able to, let me assess you, and do you think you'll be able to get up and move to the gurney with me or to the cot?
I'm tolerating it until you got here. So I could do that. Yeah.
You look like an extremely strong person. I know you've been through a heck of a lot in the last 30 minutes or so, but I'm looking at you and you are doing amazing. I just want you to know that, okay? Do you think you can get up and come to the cot with me so I can complete my assessment or at least take a better look at you?
Yes, great. Yes, so I can do great. That.
Okay, so let's go ahead and move to the gurney, okay? So once I'm at the gurney and I'm doing my assessment of Rachel, I don't see any other injuries except for a wrist injury. Rachel, so thank you for moving the cot with me. I want to ask you how bad your pain is. So Rachel, 10 is your pain is absolutely intolerable. You're unable to do anything or even speak with me. 1 is that your pain is minimal. You're able to do anything you would want to do. So what would you rank your pain there?
Yeah, obviously I'm able to interact with you and get on the gurney. It hurts a lot, probably because I was in a car accident, but I would say probably a 7.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. And thanks, Rachel. Would you like us to treat your pain? Would you like anything for that pain?
I think I would like something for the pain, yes, just to get more comfortable.
Okay, great. And Rachel, what we're going to do for this pain, which I think when I'm looking at your wrist, I think you've got a break. We're going to put you in a splint, and that's going to help your pain because it's going to immobilize it. Okay. We're going to start with stuff that's not going to really affect your ability to talk with the doctor once we get to the hospital so that you're able to tell him absolutely everything that's happened. So we're going to start with Tylenol and ibuprofen. Okay. And that's actually been proven to be extremely effective for fracture pain. Now, if your pain is still uncontrolled after a little bit, we're happy to do more. But right now, you should know that that's going to be very effective for your pain. And that, again, our goal is to get you to the hospital so that you can talk with the medical staff. Does that sound reasonable to you?
Yeah, I mean, I want to get there. I want to get the x-ray and figure out what they need to do to fix this. Right.
And if at any point you feel like, hey, Don, this pain is just too much, you let me know, because we're here. We, of course, have other agents, but my goal is always to not knock you out before we speak with the doctors and the medical professionals, okay?
Okay. I can understand that.
Great. Rachel, is this the first accident you've ever been in?
It is. It was really scary. Nothing like this before.
Well, you know, just after looking at you, I can say that I'm so thankful that you're talking with me, that at least on my initial evaluation, you look like you're not too severely injured. You know, a broken wrist will heal, but thank God I don't think that you've had any type of worse injury that could have changed the rest of the trajectory of your life. So as we're driving in, I just want to express that I'm actually very grateful that it's not worse.
Absolutely. Yeah, I cannot even imagine how much worse this could have been. Thank you. Yes. Thank you for your concern.
So let's talk about the rest of your medical history. What medical problems do you have, et cetera, et cetera. That's an advanced analgesia approach to pain. And I want to actually point out a few different things. Rachel, when you're answering those questions, kind of what was the difference that you noticed?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first one, I'm answering like very expected routine the first time around, very expected routine questions that I really was focusing on the acute injury, which obviously I had a lot of anxiety about. The second one, it was less about the actual injury, but more of how was I dealing with it. So it brought it back to me and my ability to like you asked, how are you tolerating this? How tolerable is it for you? And that really puts it back on me. And that's completely different than me like just sitting there answering questions, but maybe not participating in my own care.
Yeah. And that's, I think, the biggest shift is the right question up front is about pain tolerability and not what the pain is, but what the patient's reaction to the pain is. And then it's much more collaborative. Whereas before, I think we'd tell people, give me a number, let's talk about your pain for a while, and then let's try to get this pain as low as possible. I think what that did was actually create a lot of harm. Because when pain is focused upon, pain gets worse. When your reaction to pain is focused upon, then people are actually given the power and the tools to modulate pain. And that's one of the first psychologic interventions that we do. It's not about the pain. It's about the patient's reaction to pain when we talk about pain control. And then the second thing is that I try to put patients in the right state where they feel like they have control and autonomy. Because we know that when pain feels out of control, pain gets worse. When people feel like they have control over the decisions and over the pain, pain gets better. And then finally, I try to, and this is hard to do sometimes in a short interaction, but if possible, I try to give patients the right story about their pain. So Rachel can look at it and say, oh my gosh, I've got a broken wrist. It's a 10 out of 10 pain. This is so horrible. And that could be the story that she brings to the hospital and then leaves the hospital with, that something tragic to her has happened, that her pain is something that's terrible, that this is a tragedy, that this is a catastrophe. But by actually reframing pain as something that, yes, there's pain, yes, this is something that she would never have wanted, but my gosh, she's actually lucky that this is all she has, you actually give patients a better narrative and a better story about her pain that actually impacts the patient's ability to heal thereafter. So again, we're using a lot of different psychological levers that we're pulling on to better address pain and to put patients in the right framework.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it immediately put me in this place of gratitude of like, that could have been worse. Obviously, having a broken wrist is not fun, but I mean, that situation could have been much worse. Yeah. And I'm grateful that I'm here, I'm fine, someone's taking care of me, showing me compassion. Absolutely, just so different.
Yeah. And lastly, I think we have to realize that our compassion and you showing that you care is a really powerful pain relieving interaction. Is you know, there's a reason why human beings are made to express pain vocally and with our facial mannerisms, etc. It's because we're social animals. And because with social animals, if you actually have outward expressions of pain that elicit a response in the rest of the social group, that's a survival benefit. So for example, if I'm alone in the jungle and I break my leg and the only thing I do is wail and cry and I'm all alone, you can imagine that, hey, that might attract predators to me, right? that might actually make it that I'm going to get eaten as well as have a broken ankle. But because we're social animals, if you break your leg and then you express pain and other people start responding to you and either showing they care or, you know, however it is, whether it's, you know, just splinting it, whether it's massaging it, etc., that it releases within you endorphins and endogenous opioids that decrease pain. So that's why we have opioid receptors, by the way, in general, is because of the social interaction we have for pain and the survival benefit that expressing pain outwardly does. So that social interaction, that showing that you care, actually is just as good as a hit of morphine in many cases in terms of relieving pain and getting patients to calm the anxiety and the distress that they feel around pain. So realize that the amount of care that you express to patients, the way you're able to demonstrate it, is an intervention that has a very powerful psychological effect. And lastly, there's a lot of pain that happens with uncertainty. So with patients who don't know what's happening with their bodies, they're not trained medical professionals. If you can help them realize what's going to happen next or what their pain might be, sometimes that anxiety starts to die down, and that anxiety oftentimes is a big driver of pain. So all of these are different levers that you can manipulate, and which we go into a lot more in our lecture on pain psychology, which we'll also post in the notes of this podcast, that you can watch and dive a lot deeper into pain psychology and how to use it to better care for patients. But in our next podcast and in this series, we're going to focus primarily on Alto and medications. And in our next podcast, we're going to feature our good friend, Dr. Rachel Duncan, and we're going to talk through all the different medications that can be brought to bear in order to improve patients' pain. So, Rachel, thank you for this introductory podcast. Any parting thoughts for the group?
No, I think I'm excited to talk about medications and get into that nitty-gritty. But yeah, I just can't emphasize enough the importance of these other two pillars. Even as the drug expert in the group, we have to understand pain to be able to know what different agents are going to be effective. And then pain psychology and that communication portion and that compassion portion is just equally, if not more important. So I just can't emphasize that enough. But yeah, I'm excited to talk about drugs next time. So looking forward to it.
Great. Well, thank you, friends, for tuning into episode 1 of the Advanced Analgesia in the Pre-Hospital Setting podcast. We hope that you enjoy and tune in for our second episode all about medications.